to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, author, life coach, mother of two. And whether you're married with children, single, divorced, or cheating, or on Ashley Madison, or all of the above, God. I'm talking to you about life.
You dirtbags.
Relationships, infidelity, and sex. Yeah, that's Todd Anderson you hear, the famous Todd Anderson. Woo, he's here.
Hey, you cheating bastard.
That's what we're talking about today. Yes, but cheating wenches. Yes, we're talking we're talking about the ladies today. We're going to talk about...
They're the worst.
Are they?
Oh, the cheating ladies.
Well, I actually heard... What was I? I was looking at some old Chris Rock, you know, videos, and he's like, you know, men lie. They're like, you know... Yeah, I was at Joe's. That's a lie. You know, yeah, I had the, you know, I went over here. That's a lie. Women are like, it's your baby. Like, when they lie, they really fucking lie. Like, well, you know, there is some truth to that.
Maybe. I don't know.
So last week we talked about Ashley Madison, which is 40 million profiles strong at this point. People are still signing up.
Despite the hack. Oh.
People are still
Maybe it was
up.
Good for their PR. People were like, holy crap, I didn't even know about this.
There is no such thing as bad publicity. I think it's actually true. I mean, I don't know. Maybe people are like, oh, I never knew that existed. I think I'll try it.
Mel Gibson would probably disagree with you.
Yeah.
He's in trouble again.
He is.
Yeah, he got in trouble again for pushing a reporter in Australia who was trying to take... So this is what happened.
I just think if you're a reporter, you're just going to get pushed.
Well, yeah, especially if you're trying to take a picture of Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Trying to take a picture of Mel Gibson and his 24-year-old girlfriend. Ooh. He was in Australia. He's shooting a new World War II movie or something.
Uh-huh.
But they were coming out of a cinema. They were at a film festival. Uh-huh. Get this. An Israeli film festival. Mel Gibson at an Israeli... So there's a lot to parse there.
So there is a photo op.
Yeah. He's coming out of it. Why wouldn't you want to get a picture of Mel Gibson
he
with his 24-year-old...
It.
Yeah. Right. I mean, so...
Yeah.
And he
Everybody just take responsibility for your own shit.
Yeah. Now he's in trouble again.
Poor, what are you going to do?
Poor anti-Semite, misogynist, racist guy.
Do you think his 24-year-old girlfriend will cheat on him?
Yes.
Why would she? Yes.
She is already.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's on her way.
Yeah.
She's already filled out a profile.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure she's on
Because according to Ashley Madison, of course, they're like, hey, we're still getting signups, and a lot of them are women. You know, they're... Because the with the hack, you know, a lot of people were saying, well, this data shows that women are not really active on the site and these women aren't real and blah 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 blah. But there's some real women on there. I mean, there are. So today we're going to kind of talk about why women cheat, because we like to think of women and their sexuality sort of being like contained within the confines of marriage, and the idea that they would cheat is like sort of disturbing, and you know,
the fact that women would cheat would be more disturbing than men.
Yeah, but if you look at the statistics, at least, you know, from what we know, which Todd and I think are kind of low, 22% of married men cheat, 17% of married women cheat, but that's pretty close.
And another 25% probably on both sides are full of shit.
Right.
Maybe
you
more.
Know, I mean, yeah. That's what, I mean, I have, you know, I have heard guys say, and I love men, and I don't assume that you're all cheaters. I really don't. But I have had guys say to me, like, every one of my friends has cheated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every one of my friends is like, you know, fucking around in Vegas and coming home and manning the barbecue and changing diapers.
It's what just were they doing in Vegas?
Fucking girls.
Fucking girls?
Yes, Todd.
Like arbitrary girls? Yes. Or they get like strippers and stuff?
I don't know. Strippers and blow.
Strippers and blow. Going to Vegas.
Which I never really understand that, because doesn't blow make your cock not work?
I have no idea. I've never done blow.
Yeah, that's from what I understand, cocaine is not good. It is the opposite of Viagra. I don't know
anything.
Like, it makes you feel very powerful, but apparently you don't have a,
it
like,
doesn't
a
reflect
penis to
in
go
your
with
penis.
It.
Oh, right? That sucks.
I know,
what's
right?
What's the point?
I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's
a very scary
The whole
drug
reason
to
do drugs is to have awesome sex when you're on drugs.
If you're smart.
Yeah. If the drug makes your dork
not work.
Flaccid, not work.
What's that all about?
Yeah, you can't have fun.
Yeah. That's what I've heard about ecstasy, too, is that, like, for a lot of men that, they're like, but then my...
Well, I think,
work,
yeah,
no
X, X...
But that's an like emotional, like, I love you so much. Oh, my God, Todd, we should do X and do a show.
It'll be so long.
It'll be
all night. I love
Todd,
this
I just
desk.
Love you.
Feel this desk. feel so cool.
You look so cute in your headphones.
You can have you can have sex on X. Yeah. It depends. Yeah,
you I think can, I you think can you being you understood like as in some of you
some
can.
Of you yeah so. Just a general you yeah. You can have sex on X. You just you can't really climax on X. That's the harder part.
All right, well, you know, that's
but you
not
can,
always
but
the goal.
It can also like make you any drug. A lot of drugs have that side effect.
Oh,
that your
making
dick
it difficult.
Doesn't work anymore. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, including booze, you drink enough of it.
Oh yeah.
You know, but yeah for girls, booze is like boom.
No.
Give me a little red wine.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah. All right. Let me.
Suddenly I get buckets of red wine sent to my
house.
Can
we send a PA out for some red wine, please?
And some ecstasy.
And X. Score some X. That'd be great. No, we don't need any cocaine. Are you not listening?
No, leave that shit at home.
We don't need that shit.
Okay. So for those not doing that in their marriage. Let's talk about why they're signing up on Ashley Madison and such. Okay. Number one reason, okay, is lack of, okay, and this is, I'm just going to tell you, I did like tons of, I found like however many articles I could find on this, and I just got together the top like eight reasons here that, you know, so we're just going to agree on this, okay? Studies show.
Yeah. What do they show?
Number one reason is lack of attention and intimacy. So they're just not getting it at home. They're not being paid attention to, right?
Right.
Okay. So when you're not being paid attention to, it's hard to say like, hey, I kind of want you to pay attention to me, you know?
Right.
I remember saying to my ex at one point, I just don't feel like you love me like ice cream anymore. Oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that. Just gotta have
it. Like you gotta
kinda
have
like
it. Like you have cravings.
Have yeah.
Have
like, cravings. Like I don't. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
And sweetly, he really tried to do something about it. You know. Like he did. He like things kind of improved. You know.
Sure.
But I do think ultimately we just became friends. Mm-hmm. You know. And I
that can happen.
That can happen. You know. And I was very interested in, you know, keeping our sex life alive and all that stuff. You know. But I think sometimes you just grow apart in that way.
That's
but
true.
But it's really, you know, that when you do ask for the attention and then you get it, you have to get the voice out of your head that says he's just doing this because I asked him to. Because
right.
Yes, he is doing it because you asked him to, and that's because he loves you and he wants you to feel loved.
Sure.
So he's trying. So you have to allow yourself to receive it. That's the challenge.
And encourage it.
And then encourage it.
And then the next
and
time you
it.
Won't have to ask for it. Yeah,
And return it too. You know? So, and let it turn into sex sometimes, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
Because you can't be like, oh, I'm so happy you're paying attention to me, but, you know, but don't ask me for sex because now I just think you're paying attention to me for sex.
Right.
It's like, but I... Sex is a lot of the way they show their affection for you.
Right. Yeah.
Remember when you were dating? Remember?
Yeah. Remember? Yeah, when it started.
Right.
How much you liked fucking.
All the humping.
Yeah.
Humping like bunnies. Yeah. So, you know, that's... So, number one, you know, attention and intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because if somebody has a friend... Like, some women would say that they would have a friendship at work or something, and that would sort of turn to flirting, and then that would be kind of an infatuation because they start enjoying the attention, and then, boom, next thing you know, they're like, shit, doing things I don't even feel right about.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because the attention feels so good.
Right.
So if you're not getting it at home, it's really hard. It makes you feel really lonely.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So that's the number one reason. Number two.
Uh-huh.
Riven.
Oh, shit.
A woman scorned.
That's dark. It went
I
dark.
I know.
It went from, oh, poor lady.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Poor lady needs to have an affair to, oh, she's mean.
Or hurt.
Whatever.
Yeah. You're like, whatever. She's still the one getting naked. They didn't just slip and fall into each other. She made that shit happen.
Yeah. Whoa.
Whoa.
That's aggressive. Revenge. I don't even want to have sex with this person, but I'm going to for revenge. That's crazy.
Well, but what this is referring to is they have been cheated on.
Right. They've been cheated on.
So really, when you're wanting to get back at the person, but really what that's about is sort of taking back your power.
Sure.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That's really about, because you know, are some of those women want him to find out and some of them don't. It's just a personal need to reclaim your power.
Sure.
And what you have to know is that you also have the power to leave the relationship, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't necessarily have to lower your personal integrity, right?
Right.
To take back your power.
Right.
You know, I understand that I'm asking you to be a grown up, but, and it's really hard because when somebody cheats on you, it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
But is that really going to, solve the issue in the relationship for you? Like, probably not.
No.
You know, how many, you know, because it would probably never be enough.
Right. But so, I mean, do you think it alleviates something getting revenge?
Might. Yeah, I suppose.
You feel a little bit more power. You feel a little bit like your own person again.
You know, we have the movie The Big Chill has often come up, you know, like, you know how they're all sitting around there. They're at the funeral for the guy, and you right. find out that Kevin Kline's wife actually had an affair with the guy.
The guy being Kevin Costner.
The guy that died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was Kevin Costner.
Yeah. His part was cut, but he is in the movie as a dead body.
Right.
But he was in flashbacks that they cut out of the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so they didn't show
Fun
that.
Fun trivia about Big Chill.
Yeah, I remember her little crying scene in the shower. It was pretty intense. You know, like she had a connection with this guy, right? You know,
right.
Well, she didn't love her husband, but there was some shit going on for her.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was always painful for him. And not that it was necessarily cheating with the friend that he ended up sleeping with, but there was a part of him that just felt like, hey, I kind of got to experience that a little bit too, you
right.
know? And maybe there was some kind of honoring of each other in that experience for them. And that's the sort of dicey, strange subject that they brought up in that film, which
right.
is why everybody talks about it for years, because they're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Would that really work? And you're kind of like, I don't know. There was something kind of authentic about that too, you know?
Yep.
So, I suppose that a revenge fuck could maybe help. I don't know. I don't recommend it though, because you're the one that has to wake up in your own.
Revenge is not.
It's never good.
Never,
I'm sure that, you know, there's some ancient people that have said some things about revenge.
And
I'm sure that there's some wise things out there.
Like,
and I did not find them, so I cannot quote them right now.
Like Ricardo Montalban in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, as Khan, he said, revenge is a dish best served cold. That's all I know about revenge.
So,
I don't know what that means.
I was going to say, so cheat in Minnesota in the winter?
Yeah,
don't really know. Listen to Todd or Ricardo Montalban. He's
Hey.
So anyway, I don't recommend that. But I mean, I get it, though. I get it. I really
I get it, too.
I think we can all get that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so number three.
Uh-huh.
Bad sex.
What?
Bad sex.
Like their husbands?
Like, they're just not getting it right at home.
Or shitty? Mm-hmm. Or just shitty in bed?
Mm-hmm.
That happens?
Yes.
You go, like, guys can't... God... I mean, I think like even if you're not that good at the beginning, I would imagine you can get trained into a...
Well, and that is where, you know, it is important to speak up, you know?
Right.
But it's hard. You know, you get married and you're in this little box, right? And you're supposed to... I don't know. I think people think that what we're doing works. And so this is what we're going to do for the next 30, 40, 50 years. So does that mean you're also going to be having sex the same way for the next 30, 40, 50 years? Yes, if you don't speak up.
Yeah.
Because he's going to assume it's working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is this bad sex? Like, it's just like quick and over quick and there's no like foreplay kind of thing? Like define...
Todd's worried. He's shaking.
Define bad sex. I got to call my wife.
Okay. Let's get her on the line, shall we? So.
I just want to make sure.
Well, okay. I can say that good sex generally involves, yes, foreplay,
mm-hmm.
some passion, some enthusiasm, maybe a little creativity, you know? I think that...
But what
bothers me, too, though, is marrying somebody who you have bad sex with. It's like...
Do you think maybe this is a symptom of people waiting until they get married?
Oh, well, I'm sure I know that is the case for some people when they wait.
Right.
When they wait to
like,
get married
shit,
and they're like, oh, my God, had I known. And I'm like, well, yeah.
You make love like Robert Duvall in The Handmaid's Tale. Archaic reference. Whoa.
I'm so lost.
Nobody's going to know.
I need a roadmap.
Nobody's going to know, but I have this. Like, I saw that movie when I was in college, and I will never forget the sex scene with Robert Duvall. Because he's it's like, you know, the whole story of The Handmaid's Tale? It's a famous, like, sci-fi book. But it's like a future where only there's so few women who can have babies that they're enslaved by the wealthy.
It sounds horrible.
It is horrible. They're enslaved by the wealthy. So Robert Duvall is like the rich patriarch who gets this handmaid.
Oh, good God.
And then there's like these scenes where, you know, his wife holds her hand while he
it's really awful.
Okay. So when you say bad sex, that's what I immediately picture.
No, I think that there's, you know, there is sort of quick and boring kind of, you know, maybe self-serving kind of sex, maybe always the same position, maybe, you know,
or they're like, they just lie there and expect to be taken care of.
Do you know?
That's how I make love, but I feel like I'm great, so I'm doing a woman a favor just by
showing up,
allowing her to pleasure me.
Yeah, you better check your history on your computer.
What's all this shit from Ashley Madison?
Yeah, Hey Hill.
What's with the Ashley?
Who's
Madison?
Your friend Ashley?
Who's this Madison person?
Okay, well, so now that we know Todd is an excellent lover, according to Todd, let's move on, shall we? Mm-hmm. Okay, number four, because, you know, we have shit to do.
All right,
okay,
let's go.
Weight loss and plastic surgery. This is a very interesting thing.
What?
Women who have a weight loss or, like, you know, get their new boobs or whatever, and they're suddenly feeling sexier, right?
Yeah.
That this can sometimes lead to cheating, which is funny because you can see this fear in men's eyes sometimes when they're talking about their wife getting a boob job. They're like, well, wait, you know, like, what's going to happen if she gets a boob job? And then, like, you know,
right?
Because they know guys,
sure,
right? You know, so it's like this weird thing. Like, so yeah, I want my wife to be sexy, but I don't want to be too sexy, or I don't, you know, it's just weird.
So they get augmented or lose weight,
and then
dudes,
and they start getting a lot of attention,
right? Yeah. And then it's like, oh, I can, it's exciting.
It, yes.
You feel young again.
Yes. And it can be, I've experienced this to a little bit of a degree, like after my babies and I got rid of the baby weight and, you know, mm-hmm. got my breast reduction, felt a little better about myself. And then I felt so much more comfortable in my body that I lost some more weight and I was kind of getting a lot of attention.
That's
and I was
cool.
like, what the hell? Because I was really naive about it. I'm like, he's not into me. I'm married.
Oh.
There's my logic, right? Like, I didn't, you know, so, but it was fun, you know, but I could see how that could be very intoxicating.
Yeah, I could see it too.
You know, like if you were in a workplace and you were with around somebody all the time,
sure.
like, yeah, that could be, you know.
I mean, when I lost weight, I didn't get any extra attention.
No.
Maybe
you don't know it. Maybe you just weren't aware of it.
Maybe. I guess women aren't as aggressive as men with that stuff.
We are a little different.
Yeah. I mean, it'd just be nice if someone just said, hey, nice ass to me.
Okay,
so if you ever
run into Todd, can you just tell him he's got a nice ass? Because that would just fucking make his day.
Yeah, please. There Jesus Christ.
somebody, the man some attention.
Somebody, yeah, throw me a bone.
All right.
Jesus.
Okay, this is a weird one, but I did see it mentioned a couple times. This idea of financial independence, okay, that women sort of... I guess maybe the idea here is that they're less afraid to cheat, or they just are kind of feel more in charge of their own lives and their own world.
That makes psychological sense.
I guess
actually.
It does. I guess it does. I think you have to be living a little bit unconsciously, you know, like for that to truly be the cause. I wonder if it's sort of the financial independence maybe coupled with, you know, I'm not getting what I want over here, but I'm an independent woman. I'm gonna go get what I want.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I totally
would think it would
mean.
Be sort of a kind of a coupled kind of thing, or you know, maybe it's just a power trip.
Yeah,
you know, could be.
Yeah, no, I mean,
but according to Chris Rock, when you pay for dick, it's a waste of money.
That's true.
So you know, meaning like you know, she can take them out of stuff. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
But that actually kind of makes sense, like. If especially if you go from being sort of a kept woman to being financially independent?
Well, sure. Yeah, that would. That. Yeah, yeah. I could see.
I mean, yeah. I want to be a kept man, but I know you do. I married a school teacher.
But you married a hot school teacher.
So I got to go out and work.
Shut the fuck up.
She's super hot. Yeah, but they don't pay teachers enough.
Oh, I know, I know. That's a different show. That's a different
episode. I want, if they paid her $250,000, I would never work again.
But then you would deprive the world of your talents.
Does the world deserve it?
I know. Well, neither do they deserve that or your awesome lovemaking, apparently. Okay, so another reason is low self-esteem. Okay, and you know, that makes sense that you would be sort of needing extra attention, sort of validating your own worthiness by finding lots of people that want to have sex with you.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I always tell women that's not a really good measure of whether or not somebody values you.
No, it's but, really not.
No, but this is, you know, this is, it can also be part of a shame cycle. You know, you've got low self-esteem and then you do this, and probably because you have low self-esteem, you're probably married to or in a relationship with somebody who kind of enjoys that, you know, who's not really helping you in that situation,
right,
because you've probably picked
pushing
somebody
you down
that,
and pushing you down,
that rehearses that pain for you. So then you cheat, and then you feel worse about yourself, and now your integrity is like going down with every affair, and this is just sort of a self-fulfilling shame cycle.
Right.
So in that sense, I guess you could call that kind of a sexual addiction in its own way, but it's more of an addiction to the self-loathing and the, actually sort of hurting yourself in this situation because you're devaluing yourself and not
but is part of it being like having guys that want to have sex with you and having sex, it's that's like your validation.
Yeah So that, and that in itself becomes
it's a slippery slope, as they say.
Slippery slope. Yes, especially
with all the lube on the slope, because you're having all that sex. It's very slippery.
Lube is important.
I
could do
lube.
A whole show on lube.
I could too.
Is that on the X show? The red wine.
Yeah, we got ecstasy.
Shit's going
lube,
down at Sideshow Network.
Yeah. Can't wait for next week's show, you guys.
Yes. So, okay, and then number eight, boredom. Boredom.
Boredom.
Just sheer fucking boredom.
Yeah.
You know, and then the way this is described in some is that, you know, he doesn't wear his nice cologne anymore, and, you know, you're not being taken out, and, you know, there's no courting anymore. Right. I mean, in the same way that men like to chase, they like to chase and conquer, women like to be courted.
Sure.
You know, so, you know, once the big white party is thrown, you know, it's still nice to you know, keep things fun and exciting.
Yeah.
So, and actually, I think that asking for some excitement in your relationship is maybe an easier thing to ask for than attention. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like asking and being very specific, like what would it look like if you were getting attention? Okay. You would be, you know, going out to dinner.
Sure.
You would be, you know, he might call you midday and say, hey, you want to meet me for coffee, or let's plan a romantic weekend, or whatever it is. Right. So boredom can really sort of take its toll if it's kind of the day in, day out. And you guys,
what's your stance on boredom?
Just
a little
in general?
Tangential. Do you feel, because, you know, the new agey people will say that if you're bored,
you're boring.
They'll say that, but they'll say that's a victim's mentality.
Well,
that's,
sure.
You're victim. You're behaving as a victim if you're bored.
Yes. Well, I do think that there's some truth to that. That's why I'm saying, like, you want to kind of ask for what you want and be specific as to how would this look different? You know, how could I not be bored? And also, you know, sometimes life is boring.
Yeah,
you know, we're not necessarily entitled to excitement all the time.
No.
Okay, so yeah, there is a certain amount of responsibility that you want to take in that.
Right.
But
unboard yourself.
But
though, yeah.
If when you're in the context of a relationship, right, and let's say, and this happens a lot, You know, people get married in their 20s, late 20s, whatever. You slide into your 30s, and suddenly one of the partners has kind of decided to be super complacent mm-hmm. about life
mm-hmm.
and about everything,
mm-hmm.
right? And you try, and you're jumping up and down, and you're dancing, and you're doing your jumping jacks, and you're like, let's go out, let's do something, let's see friends, and they just don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
You know? And what do you do? Like,
yeah.
I don't think an affair is really going to fix that for you.
Probably.
You know,
not.
I mean, that's a genuine potential deal breaker.
Yeah.
You know, if you're bored, take some responsibility for it and see if you can fix it.
Before you run out and
before
have
you,
an affair.
Yeah,
and then maybe out. If you can't fix it, then you got to cut things off and then you can go.
Right. Because the whole thing that knock yourself out. Yeah. The whole thing is the adrenaline rush, you know, the feeling of being wanted.
Yeah.
You know, women are super sexual beings and we like being wanted and desired, and so do men. And we're going to talk about that next week. We're talking about why men cheat.
What?
Yes, because it's not always as simple as you think.
I think it's pretty simple.
Will you come back and talk to me about it? If you're not too busy being a superstar.
And having great sex.
Right. And stuffing ecstasy and red wine down your wife's throat.
Here you go, sweetheart.
Sophie said this would work.
Sweetheart. More adventure in our relationship. I don't want you on Ashley Madison anymore.
Log off. All right. So where do people find you?
Watch You're the Worst on FXX.
All right. If you want to find me, I'm on Facebook as Sophie Venable, and you can find my book on Amazon. And if you're listening on SoundCloud or iTunes right now, please click subscribe because it would make me feel so special. And I'd like to thank the good people here at Sideshow Network.
Thanks, Sideshow Network people.
Thank you, Sideshow Network people. And thanks for the coffee. And thank you guys for listening. Shh. Okay, this is Sophie Venable reminding you that you don't have to make your life perfect. Just make it fabulous.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service, making it better. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be at the spa." But today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on, but transforming communications for your business with award-winning cloud-based solutions. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.